Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Dan Delmarski.
And Dan, you are working with us as a vendor for a couple of months.
Yep, till the middle of August, from what I know.
Yeah, so Dan, why don't you introduce yourself to people who don't know who you are?
Well, Dan Delmarski, I'm a Windows Phone Development MVP. I'm a junior at Wichita State University in Wichita, Kansas. And obviously, I'm a big fan of Channel 9.
Cool. Cool, and you're gonna be working on some coding for fun stuff.
Now, oh, I'm gonna
I don't.
Be...
You can't spoil it yet because
yeah.
It's probably still in the works.
Yeah, but it's gonna be something really amazing.
Hopefully, no pressure or anything. So let's get right into it. So our first story here is, kudos to Greg Duncan for noticing. It's apparently our 200th episode. So yay!
I feel special being on 200.
Yeah,
it's like my first one and go straight at 200.
The best present Brian could give me is not being here. So that's really an honor for him to do that for me. So kudos to that, and thank you all for watching and always giving us feedback on 200 episodes. So now the next real big story is the Connect for Windows SDK version 1.5. So what's this all about?
Yeah, so the guys from the Connect team apparently released a new SDK, and the SDK for Windows was out for quite a while, and it really lets you leverage the Connect functionality for third-party applications, not only on the Xbox. So in this new release, they have the Connect Studio that actually lets you use the Connect data in a more, let's say, efficient manner, so you can analyze it easier.
Mm-hmm.
They have face tracking now. They have
love face tracking.
Better support for skeletal tracking.
And seated skeletal tracking, which is awesome.
Yeah, which, you know, if you have your Kinect here on your computer, yeah, you don't have to stand, you know, 3 feet behind for
right,
that.
Right.
So it's a whole bunch of goodies for developers, and obviously it's available for free.
Mm-hmm.
So you can download it for free for non-commercial use, and there are plenty of samples for it.
And you can actually use it for commercial use. The only thing you need is the Kinect for Windows hardware.
Right.
The special hardware.
And there's plenty of documentation available, which they updated the documentation to.
Sweet. Awesome. Lots of good stuff. So next story is actually from the Visual Studio blog, talking about the Visual Studio 11 product lineup and platform support. So a number of things here that they do talk about. So in terms of what the products are going to be for Visual Studio 11 and Visual Studio Express. You know, and there's been a lot of comments. This one actually had... I think a 1 out of 5 review and 90 comments, and I think a lot of the negativity is around what they're doing with Express. So with Express, previously they had VB, C# and C++ language-specific versions, and I think it's good that they combined. Instead of doing language-specific versions, they did one for Windows, one and another for web, and they're still phone tools, for example.
Much easier to manage.
Which is good. I think the one concern people have is that the Windows tool, the Express for Windows 8, is only for Metro-style applications. So if you're doing desktop applications or you're trying to learn the platform and use .NET 4.5 or you're a student using C++ that is primarily doing console apps and you're looking for a free tool, the answer is to use Visual Studio 2010, which isn't a great answer for people, and so a lot of people are giving feedback, and you all can share your feedback as well to the Visual Studio team.
And you can still use it on Windows 7, right?
Yeah.
So,
next story here is the .NET 4.5 is going to support zip file manipulation out of the box. So, what's this one about?
Well, you know, the zip support, like the compression support, was there in the .NET framework for quite a while, since release 2.0, I believe. But it was at a very, you know, basic
stream level.
Yeah, very, you know, basic. So now there's an actual helper class that lets you use the zip folder, zip files in a much more, let's say, well put together manner.
Useful.
And, it's much, much easier to comprehend for developers that don't want to dig into streams, you know, so they just use the helper classes and manipulate their files much faster.
Yeah, this is super cool and one of those classic ones that I think everybody's going to be using for building zip files. So cool stuff and something more to play with on .NET 4.5. Now this one is actually a tool, and our friend Phil Hack talked about it, and it is the GitHub for Windows client. So there, you can read about the official announcement on the GitHub blog. But the idea is for people that are using GitHub, there's now a really nice Windows client that includes, you know, people, projects, push pull requests, yeah. all everything that you would expect in a GitHub client.
Because the console might be a nightmare for some developers.
Yeah, in general, I try and avoid the console just from
one wrong symbol and everything is gone.
Now the opposite is true in that it's great for like doing batch requests and being able to automate processes, but you know, just you put a wrong flag in there or something. I would be that guy. So having a nice client, and the client actually looks really nice too. I think they did a really nice job on the client UI too.
Reminds me of Zune actually. If you look at it, it's very very good job of Metroidifying it.
So now our next story is actually a highlight on some stuff that's been on the Channel 9 site since April, and that was one of the big developer camps we did in Los Angeles. So what this was is this was an in-person event that had four parts to it. And there was a number of sessions within there. So platform overview, and then specific deep dives into the technologies. So using Visual Studio, more about the developer opportunity, using contracts, and so on. And in fact, we actually released a download for the training kit that includes all the hands-on labs and the slides and the Contoso cookbook application that's actually used in this. So all that stuff is in there, and it's a great resource for developers looking to learn Windows 8.
Especially since C++ is a big focus.
Yeah, well, that actually brings us to our next one, which is just specifically for C++ developers. But we had nine to five live C++ event. So this was keynoted by Herb Sutter, and the big thing there is that SQLite is going to be available for developers to build Windows 8 applications. And Herb and them talked about the differences, whereas 99% of the source code base stayed exactly the same for SQLite, and with a 1% change, and they think they can actually get it down to 0.1% in terms of a code base to work as a metro style apps. Some other great talks. Tim Heuer definitely had some fun ones. Harry Pearson on building Windows runtime components with C++, and a lot of really good stuff. Jim Hogg on who's a compiler wizard on getting the most out of the C++ compiler. So a lot of good stuff for C++ developers.
And there's DirectX too. So
yeah,
that's for me.
Yeah,
exactly. So unit testing.
Yeah, unit testing in Visual Studio 11 got some improvements this time, and it actually, although unit testing is something that I think more developers need to adopt than it is now, it's not as widely adopted as I wish it would be. Mm-hmm. But in Visual Studio 11, actually, there's a big step forward to letting developers choose what framework they want to use for their unit testing process, whatever they have in their own company or their own workshop. So now there's an easy way. There's an easy interface through Extension Manager that lets you choose what framework you want to use, and you can actually download custom frameworks really easily. Like you have the NuGet packages, mm-hmm. the same way you can integrate the testing frameworks. And there's NUnit, XUnit.net.
And this is great because the people that, for example, didn't want to use Visual Studio built-in MS Test.
Yeah.
Support. They were already using it for this, but they wanted great tool support in Visual Studio. So you either choose great tool support or that. Now you can have both. So right. The same tool support works for a third party.
Right. So it's much easier now than it was before. And there's much better support for code coverage right now. So if, let's say, you have a chunk of code that you want to test, you perform the test, and Visual Studio lets you really easy see the parts that need to be worked on, mm-hmm. test-wise, and where some cases might appear that some exceptional cases are not covered by existing tests. So code coverage mm-hmm. is implemented in a more reliable manner in this release of Visual Studio, and it adds better support for JavaScript testing, and native testing are both big parts of Windows 8 coming out. You got WinJS, you've got C++. So unit testing for those is going to be much better.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this on a previous show. The support for async and await built into unit testing is another really cool one. So cool, good stuff. So the next one is Dan Wallen has something that I've always was sort of mystified by. It's CSS media queries, and the idea behind CSS media queries is that you can actually do things like change your CSS based on the media type. So as the example Dan goes into is, say you're setting up a printer-friendly version, you can actually have a define that media type of print, and then say, you know, there's going to be no weird background on the body, so it's not printing all black on your black website. Do things like remove the nav or remove a sidebar or whatever that you'd want to do for print. There's a number of media types available, and you can do things like specify how your site is going to work within specific, like a min and max range for pixels, how it kind of works on handle devices, and just a number of things. But if you've never used media queries, it's a great article to get started on understanding what they are and how you use them.
So that's what I was thinking, like mobile devices are going to be the ones that benefit a lot of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, you need to adapt the content, and if that lets you do it easier, then...
Yeah, and there are specific ones for phone that we've talked about before, like PhoneGap as well, that makes it look like a native experience too. So definitely some cool stuff. Everything's becoming so easy as a developer.
Right. Well, not that I'm complaining about it, but...
Yeah. So speaking of new technology, Beginner's Guide to Node.js on Windows Azure. So what's this?
Well, Node.js is the big buzzword around, you know, everybody's using Node.js to build kind of cool stuff. And even at Microsoft, Jeff Wilcox built Fort the Mayor, the Windows Phone application, and he heavily based it on Node.js running on Azure to manage push notifications. So basically, Node.js acts as one of those lightweight servers that lets, well, less of a server, more like a proxy that lets you pass data through it and to various devices. And there's a beginner's guide that actually goes through the basics of how Node.js works with the HTTP pipe and how you can try send plain text data to, you know, specific destinations. So you could to some extent rely to like sockets, but it's much more abstract on top of that. So now you have a guide that pretty much introduces people who have never touched it. And how exactly, you know, because Node.js is not specifically tied to Windows Azure. But in this sample, it shows how it can run in Microsoft Cloud.
How to get it set up to work on Windows Azure.
Yeah.
So, cool. Lots of good stuff. And that brings us to Picks of the Week.
Yay.
So, my pick of the week and is actually the Kinect face tracking demo. So, this was talked about in the Kinect SDK 1.5, and it is... you know, the face tracking SDK is part of the developer toolkit that comes with the, that's available for download for free. And one of the demos is face tracking. And the fact that there's an API for face tracking and you get a cool demo, this is awesome. I love this. I can just think of so many apps. Like, there's a show called Lie to Me that does the facial analysis on whether you're lying. Like, I can't imagine in 10, 20 years or 50 years, like, how advanced this is going to be, where you can just see somebody's muscles twitching, and it's like, I know you're not.
You'll have like a job interview. It's like, oh, hold on, let me put this face tracking thing on.
Yeah,
and go through it.
Yeah, know. Exactly.
A new lie detector.
Dan, what's your pick of the week?
Well, I'll have to thank Clint Rutkus for pointing this out. It's Stuff Developers Don't Say. It's a video released by Mindscape HQ.
Yeah.
And basically it is a set of stuff developers don't say about past products or products that, you know, did not, that are, that might be still used today, but not as much.
Here, I'll give you like the classic example, because I thought it was hilarious, which is, you know, there things don't developers don't say. Man, I miss J Sharp. Was one of
shout out to Brian Keller. Shout out,
exactly.
I see there. Or I miss VB6.
Yeah, exactly.
Those were good times. I don't know, thinking about it.
Yeah. This one's definitely funny. Den, thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you here, and we'll catch you guys next time. Thanks. Right.